guys, for a moment to close your eyes. I want to paint a picture for you this morning. As we continue this series, the last words of Christ, the statements He made on the cross. See, up until now, we haven't talked much about it, but see, there's an event that's occurring. In the last 18 hours, Jesus has been taken. He's been taken by the temple guard. He's been brought before the Sanhedrin. Can you see that? Taken for your sin and for mine. He's been put on trial, a trial He did not deserve for your sin and mine. He's been beaten, smacked, mocked, made fun of, and then taken to Pilate. Pilate finding no fault in Him. Has him scourged. Jesus endures a cat of nine tails, an instrument that would kill a man if not relented. You could be beaten to death with it. He's had a crown of thorns placed on His head. He's had been rejected by those who were His own. He came into His own and they rejected Him. He's been led out publicly, humiliated and disgraced, stripped, perhaps naked, but at least in a loincloth, basically His underwear. He's out in public, and He's been nailed to a cross. And there He hangs, suspended between heaven and earth this morning. Can you see it? Can you see in your mind's eye this man has been brutalized this morning? Are you there in Golgotha? As we come into this Easter season, I want to remind you guys as we continue this series that these weren't easy words spoken. This wasn't an easy event in His life. He's enduring agony at this point physically. He's enduring agony spiritually, that He knows that the sin of the world is being poured out upon Him, that He's going to be separated for the first and only time in all of His existence from God the Father as He bears the sin on the cross. And as He hangs there suspended, He begins a series of statements, which is where our messages are. The first statement that we've heard, and picture it in His mind, He says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." It's a statement of redemption. A statement for you and for me, not just for those who murdered Him. "Father, forgive them this morning here in the cross, for they know not what they do," when we go out this week and we sin so willfully. Now, I'm not saying we're not good people, that we're not redeemed, but you know what? I find myself falling short, needing the grace and forgiveness that God gives us. And Jesus begins His opening statement with asking His Father. And I thank God this morning, and I hope you do, that He still makes that plea this morning for us before the throne of God. Whenever we do fall into sin, He says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Ever living to make intercession for us. Aren't you so thankful this morning we have a Savior that will never leave us, never forsake us, never stop interceding for us before God the Father? And then He makes another incredible statement, a statement of restoration. See, God had a plan for you and I, was to enjoy paradise with Him in the garden. But through our sin, with Adam and Eve's and ours, we fell from that plan. And Jesus, looking at the thief, He said, "Today you will be with Me in paradise." See, those first words were words of redemption. Redemption for you and for I. For those who nailed Him to the cross. But in honesty, I nailed Jesus to the cross. My sin nailed Him there. And as I come to that, and He prays for me, "Father, forgive Mike, for he knows not what he does." Then He can say to me, "Mike, today you will be with Me in paradise." And I find restoration of God's plan. But not only in that, this morning as we look at the third word from the cross in our text, you can open your eyes. So we come to the text. This morning, Jesus speaks words of reconciliation. See, some things happen in the progression. Now, let me take you back to the garden. God created a paradise. He put man in it. And it wasn't good for man to be alone. And then He gave us, "Whoa, man." Some of y'all will get that. "Whoa, man. Dang, what's up, girl?" You gave us, "Whoa, man." But we failed. You know, often we can look at Eve and say, "Oh, Eve, blah, blah, blah." Now, we failed, man, right? Because God gave us charge over the garden, right? To protect it. And then sin entered in. When sin entered in, We fell, and we were in need of redemption. When sin entered in, not only did we fall, we were in need of redemption. Then we were also in need of restoration. Restoration to God's paradise. Because we lost the garden. And now, ultimately after that, out of that, in that progression, then came fracture in the family. And we need reconstruction. Reconciliation. In America today, there's nothing more fractured, nothing more broken than the family. Would you disagree with that, anyone? We look across the landscape and families are many different shades and flavors, and there's been always this brokenness in it. And even those families that are together, you know, could be not together. Amen? Have you ever been in a room full of people and never felt alone? People that love you? Sometimes even in marriages, husbands and wives, things can happen and there feels like there's a gulf between us. Amen? Jesus speaks this morning words of reconciliation. Pastor Wayne, I told him I was going to steal this from him, so he knows everybody, all right? So, last week he said something that really stood out to me. He said that Jesus was having church on Calvary. Amen? One of the things that should happen in the church is we should find reconciliation. So as we look at this third word, I have a word for you guys this morning. And I've struggled with this sermon. I've rewritten it, I've this, I've that. So I'm not sure where we're going this morning, so pray for me. But I know what the Lord's laid in my heart. But I want to look this morning. John chapter 19, verses 23 through 27. Let's look and see what Jesus said. When you guys get there, you turn there, let me know. Somebody say amen. I got one amen. There's one person can find it. John chapter 19, beginning of verse 23. Are you there, church? Everybody say amen. All right, hallelujah. And it's recorded by the disciple whom Jesus loved, who was also the disciple who witnessed these events. It says, "Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, each soldier a part, and also the tunic. Now the tunic was without seam, woven from the top in one piece. They said, therefore, among themselves, let us not tear it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the Scripture might be fulfilled, which says, they divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Therefore the soldiers did these things. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, Woman, behold your son. And he said to the disciple, Behold your mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home." Father, I come this morning, Lord, and I just pray, as we have a brief message, Lord, that you would give me the words to speak for what you've laid in my heart, Lord, that it would be fruitful for the church this morning, Father, and for myself as well. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Here in this scene, we find a woman. I find it interesting in this, if you're not aware, Jesus is never recorded of referring to Mary as his mother. Nowhere in the Gospels will you find that. If you can, please show it to me because I'm not aware of it. But Jesus always referred to her as woman. I find that interesting. I think that's a sermon in and of itself. However, I'm not going to preach that this morning. But this woman, this Mary, as she comes to the cross, and she's going through a great many things at this time. It's believed at this time that Mary is alone, that Joseph is no longer with her. Joseph has died. Jesus' ministry and life has brought division within his own family. She is the follower of his and is always recorded as having been around and in part of the ministry. She loved him. She's at the Jesus' first miracle in Galilee when he turned the water into wine, where the first recording of Jesus calling her woman. He says, "Woman, what have I to do with you? My time has not yet come." In John chapter 2. And we find in other places, and we'll look at just momentarily, that as Jesus' family would come to him, he would find rejection in his own place. His brother James, or his half-brother James, who wrote the book of James, is not recorded to have followed Christ until after his death, burial, and resurrection. So this morning, as we talk about these words, these last words of Christ, I want you to see and to know that we find a woman who stands here at the foot of the cross alone. She is all by herself. In the Jewish culture, women were not workers. They were not allowed to own businesses and to do various things. So she would have been dependent upon the firstborn if Joseph was not alive for her care and her concern. That was the social security system back in the day. In the time of Israel, in the time of this, in the Jews, women's social security, if the husband died, was that the first or oldest born son would then take her in. Now, if Jesus is being crucified, it should fall to the next son. However, I would submit to you by implication through this text that she is finding herself at odds with her children. Anybody in the church ever find yourself at odds with your children? Amen? Yeah. Some of y'all are trying to keep it on the down low because you may be at odds with them this morning. Amen? Yeah, but we do find ourselves at odds. Not only is Mary alone, but she's enduring an agony that I can't even begin to. We talk about it all the time. Begin to understand. Because suspended between heaven and earth, hanging on a cross, is her oldest child. She's carried this child in her womb for 9 months. She's given birth to this child. She has nursed this child. She has walked with this child. She has mended wounds. And I'm sure Jesus scuffed his knee, although he didn't sin like the rest of us when he did. He didn't start talking crazy. Amen. You know, what would it be like to be Jesus' brother or sister? Amen. You ever thought about that? And she watches and she sees. And we talk about how cruel this is, and I really need you to get it. Mothers, what would it be like to see your child so marred and so beaten that you cannot recognize him? The Bible says that his visage was scarred and it was marred beyond recognition, that we couldn't see or understand what he looked like. He was beaten so badly. Had his beard plucked out. He's hanging there, and it's not the pretty picture sometimes. You know, we get those nice, pretty European Jesuses hanging on the cross. And he's just got his head, and there's a little bit of trickle of blood out of this and out of his feet. No, he's beaten. And he's brutalized. And she stands there. And she sees him suspended there, realizing now that she's all alone. And there will be no coming back. You know, this is not an event where, you know, as she watched this, that there's some hope that Jesus is going to get off the cross. They're going to, all right, never mind, sorry, we messed up. He's dying. And in her aloneness here at the cross, the church at the cross, the most amazing things happen. God restores. He brings reconciliation. And through this redemptive act for her, as Jesus looks to the one disciple, there was only one disciple that made it to the cross out of all of them. Who was that? John the Beloved. As he looks at him and he says, "Woman," not mom, never said mom, never called him mom. He said, "Woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother." So this morning I have a couple of thoughts out of this passage as we talk about the last words of Christ and apply into our lives. First and foremost, God desires to bring reconciliation in families. He desires to restore families. It's evident here at the cross. But there's only one way that happens. It has to be through the cross. Amen? In America today, our only hope as the church of God, as the people of God, is that we become Jesus to those who need reconciliation, to those whom find themselves in situations where there is brokenness, where they have suffered the effects of sin. Amen? And we should be a church that brings a reconciling message of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. And I want to be this morning a person who brings a reconciling message to you that whatever your family is going through, whatever your children are going through, there is hope and it is found in Jesus Christ on the cross. Amen? He is our only hope. And His Word today is it has always been, even to John and to Mary, are, "Woman, behold your son." Look around you. Look next to you. Guess what? Guess what you see this morning? This is your forever family. Some lucky person in this room this morning is going to get to live next to me. Amen? Think about that for eternity. I will be your neighbor. I will be that guy. It'd be like, you know, it'd be like 6 a.m. eternity time. "Hey, you up yet? What's up? Guess what? Jesus, He's in the house. Hey, you want to go with me? We're going to the throne room. Everybody going to worship today. We're going to cast. Are you coming? Casting crowns? Amen? Are you coming? Yeah, I'm going to be like that forever. Amen? See, this is where we find family. This is really what Wayne said last week that stood out to me in reconciliation. It's not that Jesus said, woman, go find James, my oldest half-brother, and he'll take care of you. He said, woman, behold your son. See, it's in the church where we truly find our family. See, look around here. This is your family. I'm your family. You are stuck with me forever. Amen? And I don't know. I'm going to figure out which one of you likes that the least, and that you're the one I'm going to ask Jesus to have a place next to. They're like, man, come on. Can I just live with them? Lord, just let me shack up with them. Come on, man, for real. They got another bedroom up in that mansion you built for them. They got plenty of room for me. They throw another kitchen. I don't want to have to knock on the door and be let in. I just want to go down to the bedroom and be like, hey, get up. Let's go. We're going to go worship Jesus this morning. Jesus would say, I want to draw your attention to a couple of statements of Jesus as we talk about this. In the book of Matthew, Jesus would say some things that really stand out about, you know, who is our family? Have you ever considered that? You ever say, who is your true family? Matthew, if you want to turn there really quickly, in chapter 12, beginning in verse 46, an interesting thing happens as Jesus is in his ministry and he's ministering in the area from where he's from, Nazareth and Galilee. Beginning of verse 46, it says, while he was still talking to the multitudes, behold, his mother and brother stood outside seeking to speak with him. Then one said to him, look, your mother and your brothers are standing outside seeking to speak with you. In other words, honor your mother and go talk to them. But Jesus answered and he said to the one who told him this interesting thing, he makes the statement. He says, who is my mother and who are my brothers? Who are they? And he stretched out his hand toward his disciples and said, here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my mother, my sister, or my brother and sister and mother. You see, here this morning, we're here to do the will of God. And so many I know, as I work and counseling, they struggle because they're trying to find their family. Many have been through the system, they've been adopted, many have been through brokenness. And we spend all our lives trying to find and get back to that family, when the reality is, if you're here this morning and if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you can say that, raise your hand this morning. Say, I know Jesus Christ. He's my Lord and Savior. If you can't this morning, I'd love to share that with you. I would love to share with you how you get born into my family. I'd love to share with you how you have the opportunity this morning to spend eternity living next door to me. And some of y'all are like, oh, I'm cool. Who is my brother and my sister and my mother? And here at this moment at the cross, Jesus is looking down. And who is doing the will of the Father in this moment aside from Jesus? John, the disciple whom he loved, has not left his side. See, that's what we are to be, church. Mary, the mother of God, is doing God's will. And she is there at the cross. And during this most painful and heartbreaking of experiences, they're perfectly in the middle in the will of God. And she in her brokenness, John perhaps even in his own, it's not recorded what John's family was like, they find that what you will only find at the cross, and that is your true family. You will find it no other place. We search high, we search low, looking for our family, but you will only find it in the church. You will only find it at the cross of Jesus Christ. If your family is broken and hurting, the only place that you're going to find reconciliation, the only place you're truly going to find restoration is at the cross of Jesus Christ. When you bring your family there. But see, Mary took an interesting journey to get there. Jesus separated himself from her. Even in Luke, whenever Jesus went to the temple, or they went celebrate Passover, and they leave, and they can't find him. They go back, they find him in the temple. They say, hey, you know, we've been looking for you everywhere. Jesus says, don't you know I must be about my Father's business? Even at the age of 11 and 12 years old, he's saying, you're not my family, in a sense. And Jesus is separating himself from her. And then even in here, in this passage, we find how Jesus separates himself from his family. Jesus brings division, even within that family. And I would submit to you that even within this family, Jesus brought that. See, in Matthew, the 10th chapter, beginning of the 34th verse, it says, do not think I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. See, in the journey to that reconciliation, sometimes that means that I have to set aside that which I truly love to pursue that which I love more. Does that make sense? And sometimes it can seem as if we're losing that very thing that we love. And you know, say, Mike, this morning, you're saying that God wants to restore my family. He wants to reconcile my family. And you're telling me then I have to separate. Sometimes it may seem like that. You know, in my own experience, you know, as I began to walk with the Lord or pursue the Lord, I had to give some things up in some ways. In other words, I wasn't as close to some people. Does that make sense? It doesn't mean I don't love them. It doesn't mean I don't see them. But it means that, you know what, I'm not all up and I'm not joining in your reindeer game, so to speak. Amen? When you're out running around, you want to go to the bar and do those things we used to do. I'm not going to do those things. Amen? Because I'm pursuing this new love that I have, this new Jesus that I have. And so sometimes it can bring a little bit of strife within the household. Amen? And it can seem as if we're losing them. Because Christ is the dividing point. It's a scary thing too. Amen, church? When we love people, we don't want to lose them, do we? Anybody want to lose people you love? No, neither do I. Jesus would go on to say other interesting things about that. Jesus would say that those who give up father and mother, brother and sister, you familiar with that? Those things in this life shall gain in this life 100-fold. Do you truly want a relationship restored in your life this morning? Do you truly want to find your relationship with your mom, your dad, brother, sister, whomever it is? You have to let it go. When I say let it go, I mean what I'm not saying. Don't hear me. I don't want Pastor David to get a bunch of texts later and be like, Mike said I need to go home and I need to leave these people. No, we let go of the things they love. We begin to stand for truth. And you know what? It's going to bring division because the darkness hates the light. And when you and your home begin to stand for Jesus Christ and begin to stand for the truth, people may respond kind of negatively towards you. Does that mean we're not family? No, all those family members who... Yeah, I remember once I was asked by a family member, said, do you have to go to church all the time? Well, yeah. This is the air I breathe. This is the air. Yeah, I have to go to church all the time. But did they understand that? No. They didn't understand that. You know, I could just imagine that as Christ was crucified, that Mary's own family might not have understood. Why are you there? Don't you know what those people do? Don't you know what those Romans do? You know, I know if I was been Jesus' brother, I'd been afraid I might got caught up in all that. I wouldn't have went. I can understand why the disciples fled. You know, I mean, the Romans were brutal people. Legs of iron. Anybody familiar with Daniel? Prophecy of the four kingdoms, the head of gold, the chest and arms of silver, legs of bronze, the waist and legs, and then the feet of iron, the lower legs of iron, the Roman Empire. They were iron for a reason. These were brutal people. And yet, in giving this up and pursuing her love for this son, not only the son that she had, but for the anointed, the Holy One of God who would save His people, and her desire to walk after Christ, even at the cross, she found reconciliation. See, God wants to put the family back together this morning. Amen? But He needs some people. He needs some people that are willing to boldly stand for like John, to boldly stand for the truth. See, John was the bold one. He was the only one. It's not recorded. Peter was the one everybody thinks. John was actually the one that was bold. There's another term I could use for that, but I won't use that this morning. He was the one who had some moxie about him. And he came to the cross. He followed Jesus all the way. Remember the one who said that, I will never deny you. Who was that? Everybody said Peter. And Jesus said, well, Peter, this night, three times, before the rooster crows, guess what's going to happen? And then he did that, and then he ran away like the rest of them. John comes to the cross. And there at the foot of the cross, he finds his mother. He finds his family. There at the foot of the cross, Mary finds her son. See, God had a plan for her, and God wanted to restore Now, God couldn't put that family back together because the God's plan for Jesus was Jesus had to die. Otherwise, there would have been that Father forgive them, for they don't know what to do. That wouldn't have happened had not Jesus died. He had to carry my sin. He had to carry your sin. But Jesus died to make a way to restore us to the paradise that God wants us to have. But He also made a way for our families to be reconciled, for God to bring healing in America, to bring healing in your family. But it has to be through the cross. And so many people are trying to get their lives put back together in so many different ways. They're trying to figure out how to get relationships fixed. But I'm telling you, it can only be done through the cross of Jesus Christ. And if you're not willing to risk that relationship, to pursue a relationship with God, you will never hear the words, "Son, behold thy mother. Mother, behold thy son." You're never going to hear that. There's never going to be true healing. There's never going to be true reconciliation. See, these words today, they resonate for us, for you and for me. And it's only through the cross of Christ that I have found my reconciliation and my relationships. And you know what? I had to kind of give them up first. Because I didn't live the most Christian life for a while. Some of you know more about that than others. But see, I had to risk those relationships with my son. I had to risk those relationships with my oldest daughter. I had to risk those relationships with my own mom. I had to risk those relationships with other people that were significant to me and my life and my family to stand for Jesus Christ. And through the process of time, God has begun to restore those relationships. But He's restored them in the way that's best, in a way that can't be broken. Amen? As I get to be a witness of what a changed life could be. See, I get to be John to these people. I don't know what you're going through this morning. I just got a short word this morning about this. This is really what God's laid on my heart, and I've retyped this message like 3 or 4 times this morning. But I'm here to say to you this morning, you know somebody who's going through something. Something in their family, some brokenness, some this, some that. And maybe you're going through that, and we need to boldly proclaim the cross of Jesus Christ. We need to be those change agents. We need to be those influencers. And then we need to go out and not just berate people with our words, but church, this morning, we need to go be with them. See, Jesus didn't die alone. John was there. His earthly mother was there. And some friends were there. And they need to know that as I proclaim the Word of God to them and the truth of God and stand for God's Word, that I'm also going to demonstrate the love of God to them because I'm going to be with them. Amen? And then we need to be here for each other. Amen? You know, sometimes the church could be a brutal place. Amen? Have you seen what so-and-so was doing? If the conversation ever starts with, "Hey, don't tell anybody what..." Why are you telling me? It's called gossip. See, we need to love each other. We need to be with each other. We need to be agents of change in the family because the family is broken and fractured in America. And I say to you this morning, these words that Jesus spoke that restored and reconciled two people to one another and made a forever family are the same words that Jesus is speaking this morning. To my family, to your family, and to families across America. I want you guys to stand to your feet. I want you to think this morning, who do I know that's broken? Who do I know that needs restoration? Who do I know this morning that needs me to come to the altar to pray for them, to say, "Lord, You have a plan for them. And I don't know how it's going to work out, but somehow we're going to get them to the cross." Who do we need to make intercession for this morning? Who do we need this morning, Jesus, to say the words to, "Behold your son, behold your mother"? Whose family needs reconciliation this morning? The Savannah Singh, this morning the altars are open. I would encourage us to pray. Pray for America. Pray for those that we know that are broken. Pray for ourselves, you know, because the struggle is real in families. But as we pray for others, then also pray, "Lord, how can I be John to that person? Who can I take into my world? Who can I open my home to? Be that agent of change this morning." Savannah Singh's altars are open.